Go ahead, yeah, would you turn to Isaiah 9? Oh, praise God.
She's going to be recovering from Alyssa.
Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, quicken us and grant us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name. In verse 6, would you read with me? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, who do you think they might be talking about?
Jesus.
Amen. This is prophesied by Isaiah. He said, one's going to come. In other words, God's going to come in the flesh, and he's going to declare truth to his people. Amen. In verse 7, it says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, it's going to constantly increase, isn't it? Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with just judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, we know that we're talking about a child would be born. We know that he's talking about Jesus who would come in representation of his kingdom coming. But one of the things, it says he's going to come from, he's going to, upon the throne of David. In other words, this is where the kingdom is going to be birthed from. Does everybody understand that? From the throne of David. And there's specific meaning about the throne of David and the kingdom of God coming through. So Jesus was going to come down the ancestral line of David and all the way down forth and become king and rule the world. Of course, we know he already rules the universe, right? And this was going to be this was prophesied by Isaiah, which about happened, what, 2,700 years later or whatever like that. Amen? Anyways, the one of the things I'm going to get to is about upon the throne of David. So you got to understand that because of this ancestral from David is where this is coming from. So there are specific meanings in the Bible about coming from the throne of David. Would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17? Because if you're going to follow where Jesus came from, you have to follow where David came from. Amen? Amen? First Samuel chapter 17. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12, would you read it with me? Now David was a son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advancing years in the days of Saul. And the 3 older sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 sons who went out to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next was Abiathar, and the third, Shaham. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep where? At Bethlehem. So we know that David came from where? Bethlehem. And his ancestors came from Bethlehem. Has everybody got it? And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Now he is presenting himself towards the armies of God. 40 days and 40 evenings. Now you got to understand something. The Philistine represents demonic activity. Amen? Now, when Jesus came into the world, what did he do? He presented himself 40 days and 40 nights, right? To who? Satan. Has everybody got it? The problem is the Philistine lost, talking about Goliath, in his 40-day presentation, and Jesus won. Hallelujah. So we see here, go to verse, let's see. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Oh, let's keep going. Verse 16. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephod of this dry grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. So where was he going? He was going to the camp. He was bringing food to his brothers. And this is where the Philistine was, the Philistine garrison. And we know that David won the battle, didn't he? Against the Philistine. It was David and Goliath, right? Hallelujah. Now we see David's ancestors was from Bethlehem. He fed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the word Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. So we know that when Jesus had to be born, he had to be born in Bethlehem because it means what? House of bread. Whoa. Amen? Praise God. Go to 1 Samuel 16. In verse 1 it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for whom I have provided myself a king among his sons. Now you got to understand something. Samuel was now going to Bethlehem to anoint David king. So all of these things were coming out of Bethlehem. Amen? Go to verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and what? Went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? So David went to anoint, Samuel went to anoint David king where? In Bethlehem. Where? At the house of bread. Oh, hallelujah. I'll go to verse 13. And Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So we all understand now that Jesus' ancestral line came from Bethlehem. Does everybody understand that? David came from where? Bethlehem, the house of bread. Because tonight's teaching is called Bread of Life. So we've got to at least come down the line and find out what's happening, where it's coming from, the purpose of the word house of bread. Everything that you find in the Bible is precept upon precept, line upon line. It's going to connect one thing or another. There isn't anything in the Bible that is not significant. Everything is significant. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And the word Bethlehem means what? House of bread. Go to Micah chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Micah chapter 5. In verse 1 through 4. Read it with me. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. Who do they strike? Who do they strike on the cheek? Amen. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock. Why? Because he's known as the what? Bread of life. In the strength of the Lord, and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now he shall be great, and to the ends of the earth. So we understand that this was all prophesied by Micah also, of Jesus coming in and coming to the house of bread known as Bethlehem. Amen? Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Simple teaching tonight. And not long. If the Lord wills. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 55. Oh, this is good. Starting at verse 1. Oh, everyone who what? Thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Yow! Why do you spend money for not bread? What, that's not bread.
Amen.
You think he was talking about spiritual or natural?
Spiritual.
Amen. Why are you spending money on what isn't bread? In other words, that doesn't have any nourishment for you. That can't supply you. That can't provide. Amen? Why do you spend money on something that isn't any good for you? And your wages for what does not what?
Satisfy.
Oh, hallelujah. When, you know, when we were out there drinking and drugging, it didn't satisfy. In fact, we felt miserable when we got done. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Wow. Let your soul delight in what?
Abundance.
Wow. Now, that's special meaning, isn't it? That means abundance and bread have something in common. Incline your ear and come to me. Herein your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. So we see this was coming down the family line of David, wasn't it? Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations you do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. In other words, it didn't say you wouldn't have them. It said you were to forsake them. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will what? Abundantly pardon. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he says, why are you buying stuff to try and satisfy you when what can satisfy you is free? In other words, it's a free gift from God, isn't it? Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 3. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Genesis chapter 3. Now we know that Adam and Eve bit the bait, fell, right? And everybody was getting their chastisement from the Lord. First we know the Lord chastised the serpent, didn't he? Hallelujah. Then the woman, and then Adam. And the Lord, in verse 17, it says, "And the Lord, then to Adam, the Lord said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife." Now, it doesn't mean, what he really meant was, because you've heeded the voice of the stranger. Amen? Because the stranger entered the wife. Hello? "And you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it for all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall" what? "Eat bread." See, they didn't have bread. They weren't cooking bread in the garden, let me tell you. In fact, there was no ovens, no fire. The only fire that might have showed up was God. They didn't need anything to keep them. They were made whole. Amen? They were perfect. So they weren't cooking no bread, no pot pies or no nothing like that. It says in sweat, so you got to understand the bread came as a part of what? Their fall. Okay, now you're going to eat bread. In other words, now you're going to have to cook it yourself. "In sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall" what? "Return." Let me explain something to you. What in representation here, it says, first of all, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God provided everything they needed, didn't he? He's a God that provides. When they fell and they left the garden, and of course, and the Lord says, okay, now the bread you're going to have to eat. Well, the bread represented God's provision. The word bread in the Bible represents God's provisions. God's provision. God's provision in every area. God's provision. So God was reestablishing his provision, and what did he do? He said, now you're going to have to what? Make bread or bake bread, right? So bread will be eaten in remembrance of his provision. So as they ate the bread, they're going to remember how God used to supply them, right? Now they're going to have to co-labor with God to supply. Because bread don't cook by itself. Amen? In other words, you got to knead it together. It takes a mixture of grain or flour and water and a little yeast to fluff it up, right? So it takes baking and so forth and preparation. In other words, God was providing. Providing. Amen? So the word bread represents provisions. Okay, let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. Now the Jews were in bondage for 400 years. They were taken under Pharaoh in Egypt. And the Lord sent a deliverer, didn't he? Moses. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, "The Lord shared with them," he said, and he told Moses to tell him, he said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight," which represented the Passover lamb, which represented Christ. Amen. "And they shall take of some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh and the night, roasted in fire, with" what? unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So you got to understand something. The Passover lamb and their bread was a representation of oneness with one another. It was unleavened bread. The blemish-free lamb that was going to be sacrificed and the unleavened bread. Remember, the Bible tells us that the three witnesses in heaven are the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and they are what? One. So you got to understand, God was beginning to express himself through his creation of the oneness of what was to happen. What was he doing? He was providing, meaning provision, right? Here he was providing a way of what? Escape. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. So I go to, let's see, where are we at? Verse 15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your house. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So you got to understand that the leaven represented evil. Amen. So God removed all evil. Why? Because he was providing a way of escape. The bread here representing the provision of escape. Amen. From bondage to freedom. Why? Because from the beginning, God was always making a way, wasn't he? Oh, hallelujah. Provision of escape. Go to Exodus 25. You'll never eat bread the same way you used to. Exodus 25. Bread will never look the same. Well, you got to understand, bread was a very good nutrient then, you know. Now they take all the garbage out, you know. And that's why anything that's called enriched means everything's been removed from it. And they take chemicals or vitamins from the laboratory and put it in the flour. And they call it now enriched. What do? They enrich it with vitamin D and E and garbage. No. So they take the good nutrients out, right, of the bread, and they put the garbage in, don't they? Amen. Okay. Sorry about that. If you see white bread, it means it's been bleached. How many of y'all want to eat bleach? Okay, one of you want to eat bleach. Praise God. Okay, remember, you're eating bleach when you eat white bread. White rice is bleached. White noodles is bleached. Pizza dough is bleached. So you're eating bleach. I mean, let's get real. You see, you don't realize it. You know what they do? They actually take all the good stuff out and sell it to the health food stores. And they make big bucks on it. Wheat germ. Right? What do? They take... You can find stuff that says 100% wheat flour enriched with... Well, then it's not 100%. I mean, it's 100% wheat flour, but it's been stripped. Amen? And then it's been enriched with something else. It says unbleached wheat flour, right? Enriched with... So they took the unbleached wheat flour, took all the nutrients out of it, bottled it, sold it to the health food stores as wheat germ, and grain, and bran, whatever. And then they sell it to everyone else real cheap in the stores. And it says 100% all natural wheat. Well, it is. It just doesn't have anything in it. Except for what they've had to enrich it with. Does everybody understand that? Because see, you could have eaten bread in them days and it would have kept you alive. Now you can't. Bread now will not keep you alive. You'll die from lack of nutrition. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we had enough health food teaching here. Everybody's going to throw out their leaven out of their house, right? Hallelujah. Exodus 25 and verse 23. The Lord said, you shall also make a table. Remember, God was preparing the tabernacle. And he's telling him the furniture and what needed to be done in this tabernacle. And he told Moses, you shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length and 2 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around it. You shall make it for a frame of a handbreadth of all around. And you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make it for 4 rings of gold and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at each 4 legs. The rings shall be closed to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the what? Showbread on the table before me always. Now, in the tabernacle of God, there's the 3 chambers. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. In the holy place was where most of the furniture was. The showbread was a representation, first of all, when God supplied the bread, right? He told them, unleavened bread, right? For the exodus out of Egypt, out of bondage, right? So then we know that when they came out of Egypt, and what he told them, don't put any leaven in your bread that day, right? Okay, because it wouldn't have time to rise. You're going to have to move quickly. And there's more symbolic to that, and I'm not going to get it all the way up. But anyway, so the bread and the lamb were representation of unity and oneness, weren't they? Because Jesus came, was unspotted, wasn't he? He was blemish-free. That was representation of the bread that was going to feed, and the lamb that was going to be the what? Sacrifice. Amen? So we see Jesus here. When they came out of Egypt, and the Lord said to them, listen, I want to dwell with man. I want to commune with you. I want you to build a tabernacle for me where I'm going to dwell. I'm going to dwell in the most holy place, but there's going to have to be rituals for you to come to me. And only the priest can come once a year in the most the holy of holies. Amen? And he would sprinkle the blood and so forth. So anyways, in the middle section is called, in the tabernacle, is called the holy place. In there was furniture. There was the lampstand, there was the incense, and there was the showbread. There was a table. There was 12 pieces of bread that they used to have, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, God provided this bread through manna. Okay, and we'll go back there in a second. And what they used to do is every single day, they used to put the bread in there. I think it was every day or once a week, I forgot. And what they did is it was showing that God was supplying the provision. And what they were doing was taking this, like first fruits, and offering it to the Lord so that his constant flow would keep going. Does everybody understand that? So God supplies the seed for the sower. And what they were actually doing was almost like tithing, weren't they? And that was what was keeping the flow going. So every day they were getting fed, weren't they? Every single day. And then the priest at the end of the week would eat all the bread. That's why it was unleavened bread, because it was bread from heaven, wasn't it? Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus 16. So, we call the bread that they took out of Egypt is the provision of the bread of escape, right? Here we call, this is called the bread of increase. Okay, the provision of increase. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Exodus 16. And in verse 3. I think that's it. And the children of Israel said to them, all that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And they were complaining. Right? How many of y'all love to complain? Okay.
When we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. Oh, man, they remembered. You notice how the devil always reminds you of the good lie time, but he doesn't remind you of... I mean, come on, these people were tortured. They died. They were mistreated. I mean, and every once in a while they got to eat meat, and the one day that they head off, they all stuffed themselves. You know what I'm saying? And they only remember that, the good meal.
Yeah.
They didn't remember about their wives being raped and all the other stuff and the torment and torture and the children being killed and the disobedience and the murders. And it's amazing how the devil has a way of blinding us from what he does and just showing us his goodness, deceptive hand. You know what I'm saying? Oh, hallelujah. So they were grumbling and complaining. And they said, "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." In verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Wow. Let me share something with you. When God gives you a provision, he tests you. He's going to see whether your heart is right with him or not. See, when you get blessed, he waits. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the blessing I just blessed you with? Are you going to do the right thing? Or are you going to do your own increase? Are you going to allow me to increase? Or are you going to increase? See, now your increase will go for a little bit and it'll start looking good. But then the door will open up. And you'll lose everything.
Yeah.
And you'll go, "Man, I don't understand what just happened." The thing is you stopped giving your first fruits to the Lord so that the provision can continue. Let me tell you skimp something from daddy, you just open yourself to demonic activity. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Well, I can't pay my bills if I tithe. Believe me, you never will. If you can't pay them, you might as well give your 10%. Amen? Because you know it's going to come. You know it's going to come. It's supernatural. What the devil tries to do is keep you in the natural from prevent you from allowing the provision of God to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, because it is his desire to give you the kingdom. So let me tell you something. If you don't, you know, people think, "Well, I'm just going to do this and it's going to be okay." And, you know, the devil resists you from doing the right thing. He's going to come against you in everything he can. One of the things he wants to do is stop God's provision for you. Hey, listen, it's not just financial provision. It's spiritual provision.
Amen.
You know, I'd rather be poor, than lose his presence.
Amen.
Because without his presence, we're nothing. But you got to understand, so he tests us, doesn't he? He tests us on certain things. As you get promoted in the kingdom of God, he's going to test you on what you're going to do. How are you going to use your authority? For your advantage or for the expansion of the kingdom of God? For raising up disciples? Whatever it's going to be. Everything that you get provision from God, you get tested on. Everything. That's why the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Hello? He said, "What do you mean? You were running so good. What hindered you?" Oh, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leaven meaning evil or doctrines of deception. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Well, I think we got enough of that. So... So we can call this the bread of faithfulness, man. The bread of faithfulness. So what was he doing? He was feeding his people every single day. Now let me share something with you. As God was, and you know, even though they grumbled and complained, God was still feeding them, wasn't he? Because he's faithful. Because he's what?
Faithful.
Let's see. Okay. Remember he said, and I'm going to test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So understand that even when people are not walking in God's way, he still provides for a period of time, doesn't he? And everything seems to look good. What's he doing? He's giving you time to do the right thing before the door opens up. Amen? So we see here, I call this here the bread of faithfulness, because he's faithful even when we're faithless. But how faithful? Amen? He always waits for us, doesn't he? I mean, he never forsakes us nor leaves us. Now, bread in the Bible is it's kind of like a language in certain areas. You know, it's figurative language. Because you can go to Psalm 80. Turn to Psalm 80 for a second. Hallelujah. So the word bread in the Bible represents what now? Provision. Provision. Oh, hallelujah. In Psalm 80 in verse something. In verse 5. Or start at verse 4. It says, O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the what?
Bread
of tears, and given them tears of drink in great measure. And you have made us a strife to our neighbors and our enemies, laugh among themselves. Why? Because they were disobedient, wasn't it? It was known as the bread of tears. In Psalm 127, we're just going to skim through some of this stuff. I just want to express the figurative language that God uses in his word. In Psalm 127, in verse 1 and 2, what does it say? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For he who gives his beloved, for he gives his beloved sleep. So we see here, there's an expression also of the bread of sorrows, which means grieving. Grieving. Amen. Go to Hosea 9. Hosea chapter 9. Hallelujah. In verse 3, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, nor shall their sacrifices be pleasing to him. It shall be like bread of mourners to them. All who eat it shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their own life. It shall not come into the house of the Lord. So we see that there's bread of mourners, which representation of death. Now understand something, that the Lord provided the Jews in the wilderness with the bread from heaven, right? The manna. When he led them to the promised land of Canaan, he stopped the provision because he provided the land. Does everybody understand that? So sometimes provision goes from provision to provision. And if you're still trying to rely on the old provision, you're missing the new provision.
Has everybody got it? See, so many people are trying to hold on to the old provision because they're not, and it's not allowing God to bring the new provision. Everybody with me? Remember, in the wilderness, what were they doing? They were being fed. Once they hit the promised land that God provided, it stopped. Some of them are probably still going, oh. They're probably still looking for bread from heaven, and they were missing what God had done in the promised land already. He brought them to a place of good milk and honey, right? Hallelujah, thank you. Where everything was abundant, good fertile ground and everything. He took them from the desert that couldn't grow nothing to a place where it could grow everything. And they were still complaining. They still wanted the manna. You know, they got lazy. And they began to not trust. Oh, hallelujah. Bread of mourners. In Matthew 6, would you go there with me? Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Jesus gave him a guideline to prayer, right? Man, every time I read this, I want to go off on this other teaching, you know? But I can't. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our what?
Daily
bread, meaning what? Daily provision. Amen? Didn't mean an oven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from what? The evil one. Well, who's the evil one? Amen. Powers of darkness. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we see here, Jesus said, pray that God would supply. Pray for your provisions. Pray, right? Give thanks. Give us our daily bread. Give thanks for the provisions that He supplies. Don't always look at what you don't have. Be thankful for what you have. And when you're faithful what you have, God will supply more, won't He? There are other areas in Isaiah 30, verse 20. You don't have to go there. It says, the bread of adversity. Adversity. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Had the bread of adversity. In Proverbs 31, 27, you can write this down. It's called the bread of idleness.
That's
idleness. In other words, lazy. Proverbs 31, verse 27. 31:27, Proverbs 31:27 talks about the woman. In 1 Kings 22:27, the bread of affliction. How many of y'all been afflicted? It's not over. Hallelujah. But count it all joy. Hallelujah. Isaiah 30:20, bread of adversity. Proverbs 31:27, bread of idleness. And 1 Kings 22:27, bread of affliction. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 4. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. Everybody all right? You going to go home and bake bread tonight? Make sure you don't put any leaven in there, all right? Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Weren't the Jews in the wilderness?
Amen.
Amen.
They got tempted by the devil and bit the bait the whole time, 40 years, grumbled and complained. And only two of them out of the original group made it alive to the promised land. Isn't that something? Think about it. I mean, you're talking, what, 6 million people or something like that? I mean, there was a gazillion people out there, you know? And only two of the originals made it. Everybody else died because they grumbled and complained. They weren't accepting God's provision and gratitude. They were unthankful. They wanted more. They still wanted to go back to Egypt. It's amazing how the devil prevents people from realizing the torment that they went through.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus was led in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And when the tempter had came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now, why didn't he tempt him with anything else? I mean, why didn't he say, "Why don't you make a Cadillac and drive out of here?" You know? Right? You know what I'm saying? Okay, why did he use bread? He wanted to use bread because he wanted him to be self-provision. Do you understand that? He tried to tempt him to be self-provision. Because see, while he was there, who led him into the wilderness? The Spirit. Right. What did he want to do? He wanted to remove him from being led by the Spirit and do something in his own accord to bring self-provision, which would have moved him right out of the will of God. So he said, "Make bread." Jesus, what did Jesus say? And the answer said, "It is written, bonehead. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Woo-wee! I mean, you know, he put a run in his place, you know. He said, "Listen, man, I'm not the provider." You got to understand something. Jesus said, when he came into the world, he said, "I do not come in my own doctrine. I come of him who sent me." Do you understand that? Because Jesus was God. He was just not another individual. He was God. That's why he always said, remember when he declared his name? What did he say? He said, "Father, I have manifested your name." What was his name?
Jesus.
"I have manifested your name." That's why no other name can you be saved.
Amen.
Because he was God. That's why he's known as the bread of what? Life. Because only God can bring life. Oh, hallelujah. So he put Satan in his place. He said, "Listen here. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And he is the provider. Provider. You know, even Jesus, it was expressed by the Spirit in Paul's doctrine. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, before it says you're a new creation in Christ, he says, you know, we no longer acknowledge Jesus in the flesh. Why? Because that part's gone. God went home. He did his part and he's gone. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, it's amazing. Because when I had my encounter with the Lord, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But instantly I met my Father. Do you understand that? Because didn't we just read in Isaiah 9 that a child will be born who will be known as Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God? Why? Because Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except for through me," because no one can get to the Father except for through the Father.
Amen.
Amen? So the Father had to come in the flesh to become the sacrifice and become the bread, which was the provision for man. It said that Jesus came from the bosom of God. In other words, he took a part of himself and came into the natural realm. The Bible says that God was manifested in the flesh. And the Word became flesh. The provision came. Jesus was God. Now you do not recognize Jesus anymore in the flesh. You acknowledge Him as Father.
Yeah.
Somebody got it?
Yeah.
He's now Father. But He's left His name for me and you to take dominion over the powers of darkness. That's why He manifested His name. He chose the name of Jesus for me and you to take dominion. In other words, no one's going to get to Him except for in the name of Jesus. Amen? You can't climb up no other way. Oh, that's why the gift of the Holy Spirit doesn't come in any other way but in the name of Jesus. That's why you can't cast out a devil in the name of Jehovah. Because the word Jehovah means God. It's Hebrew for God. It's not God's name. Remember when they asked Him, they said, "Hey, what's your name? What do I say with Moses?" Because He said, "I am who I am." Which was a representation of Yahweh. I am who I am. Almighty. Jehovah representing Almighty. But it was not the name of God. God did not reveal His name. He didn't need to have a name until He came to the earth. Because manifestations in the natural realm of man need to have a name. Has everybody got it? When He left His name, it's like somebody leaving a business card with somebody. Saying, okay, there's enough religious garbage on this earth. The devil has started up all of these kind of religions and all this other stuff. No one's coming to me from now on except for through my name. Here is my name. That's why when Jesus prayed, He said, "Father, I have manifested your name." Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. That's enough for that. There was a reason for that. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You're not going to cast no devil out, no other name, let me tell you. John 6. All praise be to God. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. John chapter 6 and verse 4. Okay. John chapter 6 and verse 4. Praise God. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Now Passover, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward Him. And He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, but this He said to what? Test Him. For He Himself knew what He would do. Now you got to understand something. They had seen miracle signs and wonders already. So He said, "Where are we going to buy some bread, Philip?" Philip should have said, "Come on, Dad. You know we don't need to go buy no bread. You can just... You're the provider. Right? You're the provider. You're the bread of life. Come on, we're not no stores out here anyways." He said this to what? Test them to see if they were getting, if He truly was the provider. What was He? The provider of life. He was the provider of everything. Come on. He tested them. Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There's a lad there who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said,
make the people sit down. Oh, come on now, can you imagine that? You got to understand, his disciples already had seen Jesus do all kinds of stuff. When the Lord said to his disciples, make them sit down, they probably all went, whoa, get ready for something to happen. The provider's about to blow our socks off again.
Amen.
That's why he says, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the what? Disciples. He's going to say, listen, come on. Let me show you how this is done. I'm going to now help. I want to allow you to co-labor with me in provision. He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So Jesus fed 5,000 with plenty of leftover. You know, he had them pick up all the provisions that were left over just so that they could what? See. Does everybody understand that? How many baskets were filled? 12 baskets. How many? Amen. Listen, I do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think, says the Lord. Does everybody get it? That was plenty of provision, wasn't it? Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that was the bread of abundance. The bread of abundance. Praise God. Allowed his disciples to assist in the abundance. Go to verse 48. Oh, hallelujah. Read verse 48 with me, please. I am the bread of life. You know, no one can say I am but him. Amen? He says, I am. That's why he says, I am the way, truth, and life, right? When they asked him, who are you? He said, I am who I am, right? I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are what? Dead. So many people try to live in the old. You know what happens? They die. There's a lot of people trying to be old prophets. They're deceived. The old is a representation of what was to come. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to what? Come. So many people are living in the Old Testament. Jesus said he fulfilled it. Only God could fulfill all the Old Testament. Amen? To start a whole new covenant. And it's now the ministry of the Spirit, not of rules and regulations. Because when the Spirit's in you, you're walking right anyways. Because it's fellowship. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. He's talking about new covenant. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Only God can give bread to live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my what? Flesh. Which I shall give for the life of the world. Now only God can give life. Amen? Woohoo! Let's keep going. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Carnal heads, bonehead. They couldn't understand the things of the Spirit, could they? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, they must have really freaked out now. This dude's a cult. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day.
For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Ooh. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats of this bread will live forever. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 26. You know, bread was so symbolic, even in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. You know, people gathered together and break bread. When I first was saved and I was involved in a morning prayer group, we would pray every morning at 6 o'clock. After our morning prayer group, we'd go break bread. Of course, it was garlic and butter, you know? I mean, and we'd fellowship and talk about the great things of the Lord and so forth. And man, I learned quick because I used to hang around with those who were learned. You know, I didn't hang around with those who weren't learned. I was hanging around with more of those who were learning and people who were hungry and thirsty for God. You know, even though I had seen people come to church, but some of them weren't, man, they just didn't really want. And I wanted everything that the Lord had for me. I wanted every provision because I know He paid a price for me. So I used to hang around with those who wanted more. And it was amazing and how as you started talking about the goodness of the Lord and so forth, and the Spirit of God would just come upon you and you could, I mean, we would talk to 2 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. I usually have to spend thousands of dollars to talk to 2 o'clock in the morning. And then after a period of time, I would hide, not talk. But man, I could talk all night long, man, and still drive home. Praise God. Ah, yes. Matthew 26. In verse 26. Come on, read it with me. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. What did he do? He shared with his disciples, didn't he? He said, this is my body. He was breaking bread. He was expressing to them that my body had to be broke before you could eat. My body had to be broke. He was expressing the price that he had to pay. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Luke 24. Ooh, yeah. So we see here he was talking about the bread of life. It was being broke, right? Actually, you could call that the bread of affliction, huh? Because he had to be afflicted for me and you. In Luke 24, in verse 28. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Luke 24 and 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. This is Jesus with 2 disciples that were walking down the road. Now it came to pass as he sat down at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and what? Broke it and gave it to them. Now this was after Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, and they were all bummed out. They didn't know where Jesus was, this and that. 2 disciples were cruising down the road, right? And Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't recognize him. He came in like what we would say, another form. And so they sat down. Jesus said, oh, I'm going to continue on. And they convinced him to come in. Sometimes you've got to convince him to come in. You've got to have a desire.
Amen. So he came in and sat and ate with them, right? And he broke bread and he blessed it. He broke bread and he gave it to them. Verse 31, then what happened? Then their eyes were what? Open. And they knew him, and he what? Vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Oh, hallelujah. That's the bread of revelation. The bread of revelation. The bread of sight. Amen. You know, you got to look at this also as in communion with God. Go to Acts 2. Hallelujah. In verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of what? Jesus. Amen. Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Oh, the bread of fellowship. Amen? The bread of fellowship. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. Now people gather together and break pastries. Right? They break pastries. They get so caught up in the pastry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rescued. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. Okay. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse... That's okay. Let's go to 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that what? One bread. Wow. We all partake of the one bread. What bread? The bread of life. Amen. The bread of life. Now you got to understand that the word bread, which means the flesh of Jesus, represents the Word of God, the Word that became flesh. The blood that we drink now is a representation of the Spirit of the Lord, isn't it? That's why many people try to eat the bread without the Spirit and they have no comprehension. Because it's the Spirit that wrote the book. Amen? Remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So people try to bring out all kinds of religions out of the Bible. And they're going to. Because there's only one truth. But without the fellowship of the Spirit of truth, you won't know the truth. That's why Jesus came as the truth. He said, the truth will set you free. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So we must eat of the one bread. The bread represents the Word. The drinking of the Spirit, of the blood, is the representation of the Spirit. That's why it is a ministry of the Spirit. The New Covenant is a ministry of the Spirit. In fellowship with the Spirit, you will comprehend what the Word of God is saying to you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. And then one more scripture. 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat of this, is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we take communion as symbolic in remembrance of what God did. In the same manner, he also said, take the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, representation of die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Amen. Many people take communion in an unworthy fashion. Oh, hallelujah. John 21. And we'll close here. The bread of life. Now, please, campus, don't go out and buy those bread maker things, all right? We get plenty of bread. And you can't cast out the leaven, unfortunately. John 21 and verse 14. Now when... John 21 verse 14. Let's get to it. Hallelujah. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples and after he had raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What are we going to feed the sheep?
Bread.
The bread of life. Hello? Remember, you must be a witness of truth to be able to feed someone. Not a witness of deception. A witness of truth. It's truth that feeds the people. Jesus is truth. Amen?
Amen?
Give them the truth. And as they receive it, they'll get free. Because you're giving them the bread of life. Remember, Jesus said, my words are truth. They are life. Amen? The bread of life. Feed his sheep, my brothers and sisters. But be fed yourself so you can feed others. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you are the provider of all.
that you provided a sacrifice, you provided the meal, and you provided the way. You provided the life, you provide healing, and you provide power over temptation. You provide freedom, and you provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory, far above all we could ever ask or think. And we give you all the glory of everything that you have provided, what you're providing, and what you're going to provide. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.